Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, December 2nd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 62, the first paragraph there. Starts with selfishness and self-centeredness through one paragraph ending in a position to be hurt. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Liz A., 12 Traditions, Leland P., readers of the text, Sandy K., Ainsley F., and Eileen M. The reference number for Sunday, December 1st, is 21,958. That's 21958. And for this morning, Monday, December 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,959. That's 21959. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Judith R., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Liz A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, Dawn. This is Liz A., compulsive overeater, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Liz A. And I'll now ask Leland P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, Leland P., recovering compulsive overeater in Germany. The 12 traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Leland P. from Germany. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 62, the first paragraph, Selfishness, Self-Centeredness, through one paragraph ending, In a Position to be Hurt. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Sandy Kay to read and then share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Sandy Kay, recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is a root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past we've made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. First of all, I just want to say I'm just getting over the flu. So if I stop talking for a second, it's because of that. When I was given this paragraph to read this morning, I thought there are no coincidences, because it was just a couple of days ago that I was talking to someone and saying that I was feeling self-pity, and it had been so long since I felt self-pity, I didn't know what to do. So I made a few phone calls and I got a few suggestions. Do a gratitude list. There are a few others. Make a phone call, write, pray. There were a few things, and I did get out of it. But by the grace of God, I don't normally sit in self-pity anymore. Fear, on the other hand, that I never knew that until really a few years into program, when I did the fourth step, and I used to do a few four steps. And then I would be working 10 and 11. Fear and self-delusion and self-seeking for me really go hand in hand. Because if I have a fear, it's really, it's, you know, I've heard it said, false evidence appearing real. not based on fact, but I can act and think on that falsehood. And that's where I'm in self-delusion. It doesn't mean self-delusion that I'm queen of the mountain or you're king of the hill or I'm a pauper in the street. It just means that I'm deluding myself. I don't really know what reality is. And I base my decisions based on that. And then I self-seek, overcompensate the fear. And in doing that, not intentionally, I step on the toes of other people. And one of the hardest things for me was when I did I decided to do a fourth step on a particular person in my family. And someone said, well, what was your part? And I honestly, it took me literally decades to realize what my part was. And when I did, it was a light bulb that went on. And I thought about all the decisions I had made in the past, just like the last sentence says, based on self, which later placed me in a position to be hurt. So I treated that person as if they were purposely hurting me when they weren't. So this is just been a big part of my recovery. It was a big part of my problem, but a big part of my recovery. So just keep at it. It's sort of like a pick in a glacier. Keep at it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much for letting me.
Oh, thank you so much, Sandy Kay, for getting us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. As a reminder, please keep the topic of your share focused on this paragraph. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Which paragraph did you just read, please?
It's on page 62, the first paragraph, selfishness, self-centeredness, through one paragraph ending in a position to be hurt.
Judith R.
Judith R.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M.
Hillary B.
Hillary B.
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Wow, that's a fantastic lineup. Well, I have Judith R., Sherry H.M., Hillary B., Jennifer H., and Wendy M. Judith R., please go ahead and get us started. Your 3 minutes start now.
Thank you, Dawn. Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. I have been dying to share about this word, these words, selfish and self-centered, because growing up in the world I grew up, the worst thing anybody could possibly accuse me of would be being selfish. I mean, that would be just like the antithesis of being human. That would be the worst insult, the worst calling out. If somebody called me out for being selfish, it meant that I was just plain bad person, just sort of irredeemable, never to be fixed person if you were selfish, if anyone was selfish. So if a brother or sister called each other selfish, that was just like the ultimate hit on selfhood. It was like the worst thing that you could be called. So naturally, it took more than a few years in OA to get into the big book understanding of what selfishness and self-centered is and can be, and so grateful to be able to forcefully stand up and say, yes, I'm selfish. No problem saying that. And self-centered and self-seeking and all the self that the book constantly redirects us to. And so it makes me grateful for being a compulsive overeater because without that, I would have persisted in my belief that to be selfish was the worst thing you could call a person. And I'm very glad to have been disabused of that. So thank you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Judith. Did you mention where you're calling from? I missed that.
Oh, thank you. From Vermont.
Vermont. Very good. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sherry H.M., it's your turn to share, followed by Hillary B., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. calling from Washington State. It's Sherry with a C. And, gosh, there are, I just love this part because I used to live in, wow, like an ocean of fear and self-pity. I mean, it was, I was just constantly with lots of anxiety and, you know, fear. Oh my gosh, what if, what if, what if, living in tomorrow. And that's just, it would feed my disease. That's what was eating at me, that or self-pity. I've kind of got a gold medal in both of those Olympic sports. So I was just, you know, that's just exactly where I would go. And I'm so grateful to God in this program, because now I know, service is the antidote to self-pity. Instead of saying, oh, you know, poor me, poor me, pour me another milkshake or whatever, I need to, ask God, okay, what should I do? And it's really so self-focused. He wants me to get out of self, because it says on what is it, page 46 or 48, that we're actually here to, serve God and other people. And so I have to stay everywhere my feet are in the present, so I'm not living in fear, because otherwise I'm going to go, raid the fridge or whatever. And I have to really focus on the third step prayer. I need to say it more. And, how can I serve God and my fellow man instead of, oh, poor me, poor me? So I'm ever so grateful for this wonderful program. And the third step prayer, wow, to say that, every morning. And I know a lot of people who say from that prayer, a lot of program people say, thy will not my will, many, many times a day. And I would like to work on that too. So thank you. And I'm so grateful for your service. And have a blessed day, everybody. I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Hillary B., it's your turn to share, followed by Jennifer H.
Good morning. This is Hillary B. as in boy in Southern California, Pacific time. And thank you, Dawn, for your wonderful service. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that is the root of my troubles. Oh, I was in such denial about that for so long. In OA, reading this book, I still was in denial. Well, I'm not really a selfish person. I was so, so blind. And when I finally could see it, even though it was painful, even though it was uncomfortable and humiliating, I could relax. Okay, I'm selfish. Yep, I am. And if that's the root of all my troubles, that's a gift, because I always thought all my troubles were caused by all these other people in my life that just weren't doing what I needed them to do. If I got to change all my friends, I got to get rid of this husband, I can't stand my siblings, they're all the root of my troubles. Oh my gosh, on the job, I can't stand these people. I mean, I never knew I was that kind of a person. I thought I was this really nice, kind person. I was so, so blind. And what a gift abstinence is, that when I give up the food, I'm able to see clearly my own character, defects, flaws, everything. And I get to work on it, and it leads to my freedom from bondage. the bondage I've kept myself in. So it's the good news. I never knew that would be good news. Yes, I'm selfish. When I do the nightly review, it says, was I thinking of myself most of the day? I always answer yes to that. I don't even know if I remember if I'm thinking of myself or others, but I know a day doesn't go by that I'm not the center of my universe. And I need to see that every single day. And I am so, so grateful. And yes, fear is right there. Driving me to selfishness. Fear I'm not good enough. I have to make you my source for telling me I'm okay. So if you're talking to me in a way that I feel like hurts my feelings, that tells me I'm not good enough. I'm mad at you. That's how I lived. I remember one of my ex-husbands said to me, I said I hate something or other. I don't remember what it was. He says, at some time or another, you hate everything. I thought he was full of, you know, poop, but he was right on. So I have to be rid of this selfishness because it kills me. If it doesn't physically kill me, it spiritually kills me. And I lived spiritually dead for decades. Thank you so much, Dawn. I pass.
Thank you, Hillary B. from California. Jennifer H., it's your turn to share, followed by Wendy M., and if you happen to be just joining us, we're talking about page 62, that first paragraph starting with selfishness, self-centeredness, through one paragraph ending in a position to be hurt. So after Jennifer H. and Wendy M., I'll be taking some more names. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Jennifer H. calling from Santa Clara, California, Northern California. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I love this paragraph. It was very eye-opening for me to be able to connect fear with self-centeredness. It never occurred to me that being driven by 100 forms of fear was selfish and self-centered. And for me, what would happen is when I was in fear, which was 99.9% of the time, and it would drive me to the food because I didn't want to feel the fear that I lived in constantly. So I got to go and eat and then get rid of the fear, but then start the self-pity all over again. And it was just a vicious cycle for me. And I was so grateful to be able to be brought to that awareness that that's what was going on for me. And that I was using food to cover that up. And then to even discover additionally after that, who'd have thought that eating food to cover fear was also going to lead to people hurting me because I was trying to control them. That was another awareness and awakening for me that I'm so grateful to be aware of today. You know, I'm a human being. I'm always going to be selfish and self-centered. However, you know, I'm willing to grow along spiritual lines and have a daily reprieve. And today I don't get to go to the food for that. I'm grateful for the abstinence. So the discomfort drives me to my higher power that I get to connect with to get rid of that fear, to help me dissuade that fear so that I'm not selfish and self-centered and stepping on other people's toes because I don't like to hurt other people. But additionally, because I am self-centered, I don't like other people to hurt me. I just am so appreciative of being able to find a place of neutrality or have a place to be able to go back to when things get rough. I have a program and a higher power, especially. I couldn't this without the God of my understanding to learn about my selfishness and self-centeredness driven by the fear and self-pity. And I'm grateful to be here and just thank you everyone for being here and helping me in my program. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Jennifer H. from California. Wendy M., it's your turn to share.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Dawn, always. Love to hear you and everybody else on the line. Right, so if I was watching a movie called OA, this would be the climax. This would be the moment at which the author is saying, so this is why. Okay, at the heart of our disease, at the heart of all of it, is selfish self-centeredness, right? And here's the deal. I grew up, I was a nice girl. Like, don't tell me that I made a mistake, and don't tell me I'm, you know, the reason why you're upset. I'm nice. I'm smiling because it's so funny. You know, my entire fourth step, I was just really nice. And my sponsor said to me, no, honey, you were completely delusional. Like, you've been fake. In fact, your nine-step letters to people, I don't want you to send them because they're dishonest. Like, I even was people-pleasing in my nine-step letters. I'm smiling because I love this disease. It's hilarious. So I was a blame machine. If I was uncomfortable in the room, somebody in the room is to blame. But what I'm learning, what I'm you know, really getting now is I set the ball rolling, right? And it's never a surprise when someone's upset. I get it instantly because that's how the program works. Like, at first, it's like a flimsy read. But then, you know, God's strong hand comes and says, I will be talking to you constantly, especially when you step on their toes, when you step on their toes. So last night, I have a thing about films. I think that they're all sexist. I don't want to get into that debate. The point is, I got upset with my son because he liked a film that I perceived was sexist, right? So I'm self-centered. I'm in selfishness. I'm in fear, right? And so what do? I start barking at him, right? And he barks back. And what I focus on is him barking back at me, not what I did, right? But instantly, I picked up the phone, made my amends, and I told him, I've got a problem with myself and sexism and fear of films and stuff like that. It's mine. And it had nothing to do with him. You see, this is the freedom that we get, right? And then this morning I woke up and I realized I owe three amends. I owed three amends this morning, right? I got to look at my motives with somebody. I got to look at the harm that I did, right? I set the ball rolling, and that's the good news. When we set the ball rolling, God is knocking on our door saying, hi, sweetheart, you set the ball rolling. Let's clear this up. You know, and let's learn, what are my motives? What are the fears behind it? You know, and I just love this program because it's not about being perfect. It's just about waking up. You know, I got to wake up this morning and say, I have a spiritual liberation of my thinking, and I get course correction, and I get to treat people the way God wants me to treat people. And no longer is everybody else to blame. And thanks so much for letting me share it.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share. Please keep the topic of your share focused on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So we're talking about page 62, that first paragraph, starting with selfishness, self-centeredness, talking about that one paragraph ending with in a position to be hurt. So who would like to share?
Patricia,
Deborah G. I heard Deborah G. And
Linda
who else?
G. Linda
I heard,
G.
I heard Linda G. Deborah G. And who else?
Patricia N.
Patricia
G.
N. Mm-hmm. Patricia N. Okay,
Corey
I have
F.
Corey Ann S. Okay. I have Deborah G., Linda G., Patricia N., and Corey Ann S. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go ahead and start with Deborah G. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Thank you Dawn, so much for your service and everyone that made this meeting possible. And welcome to any newcomers that are here today. I'm so glad that you're with us. You don't ever have to live how you've been living. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And, you know, I grew up an only child, me, me, me. And I was always told I was selfish, but I kept resisting it. You know, and resisting it. And I was so much selfish now that I think about it. And now, even in my adult life, at times I can resist it, you know. And I'm grateful today, though, because I'm more aware of it. And when I do see it, I'm more willing to do something about it and see the reality of it. I love the forms of fear, you know, because when I do my inventory, when I think someone has hurt me, and that's one of my fears, fear of being hurt, fear of being abandoned, fear of not being good enough, fear of being judged harshly, or being judged in front of others. I mean, there's so many things I've discovered and learned about myself that I have been driving this selfish self-centeredness. And that fear stuff is just, oh my goodness, it just engulfs me until I look at the reality and do an inventory and look at my behavior. How was my behavior when I was in that? Recently, I had to make an amends to a sponsee because I was in fear with in the way how my behavior was with her. How I hurt other people because of these stories that I tell myself in my head, that's all fear related. It has nothing to do with reality. That's why I keep saying reality is really seeing the truth and being honest. Honest with myself and honest with other people. Then I can breathe. And I'm just so grateful. And I'm so grateful that I continue to do this work, the willingness to do this work, so I don't have to go to the food like I was going to the food for ease and comfort with this before. That's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Colorado. Linda G., it's your turn, followed by Patricia N. And let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Hi, I'm Linda G., a recovering compulsive overeater in Alabama. I was in a job 30 years ago, and they had hired a friend of mine that I recommended, and she took my job, and I was working in another job when they asked me to leave, and they said I could have a beautiful recommendation, and I refused to go because I was already working in another position. And boy, was that a mistake. But I was driven by fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. I wasn't in program then. I had no idea what I was doing. And I stepped on their toes, and boy, did they retaliate. I was miserable. It was a horrible experience. I wasn't in program. I had no idea what I was doing. And it was ugly. And eventually they fired me. But it was a horrible experience. And I had no idea what I was doing. And for 30 years I blamed them. And it wasn't until I got back into program and did a four-step that I realized my part in it. And I saw what I had done. And it astonished me. It totally shocked me when I realized what I had done to set the ball rolling. And it lifted a lot of the pain because I saw what my part had been. And I realized what my behavior was and what I was capable of doing. And I recognized what my mistakes were and what I had to do instead when confronted with a situation like that. I saw that I should have taken the recommendation and my world would have been a lot brighter. I don't work anymore, but I recognize now when confronted with a situation like that, I should behave completely differently. And that applies across the board. And I've learned a big lesson. And with that, I pass. I want to say that I should rely on my higher power instead of being so afraid. That was my big mistake. I should have relied on my higher power and trusted my higher power to carry me through.
Time.
But I didn't know. thank you very much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Linda G. from Alabama. Patricia N., it's your turn, followed by Corianne S.
Yes, it's Patricia Ann. D is my last name, starts with a D, Patricia Ann. Thank you. And all I know is that on being selfish and self-centered, I also know it isn't just about, for me, it's not just about stepping on the toes of others and retaliating and people being mad or upset with me, because I don't get much of that. But what I do get is crazy in my head because I'm selfish, self-centered, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-seeking, because I try to run the whole show. And I know that's not what we're talking about today, but I definitely know that it goes beyond people, this selfish self-centeredness. It goes beyond just people. And I have to be very careful and pay attention to my motives, because I can really hurt their feelings. Like, I don't get much retaliation. Well, I guess I do when I think about it. If it's just, you know, people will pull back, they'll pull back from me. And nobody's ever really ugly to me. However, people can be ugly without any reason, with just meeting you. They don't even know you and they can be ugly. I've had that experience especially in my job. But yes, I definitely know that it is the root of my troubles, me. I'm the root of my problem. You know, acceptance prayer, if acceptance is the answer to all my problems, because if I'm upset, it's something's wrong with me. And I have to understand that it is all about recovery, and it's all about getting to know me and getting to know my motives, and then trust in God, because he's got this, and I don't really have a vote. I don't have a vote. This whole weekend, this holiday weekend, I was planning to work around my property. I was sick in bed, slept through all of Friday night, all the whole thing, slept through it all. Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to the doctor's in a little bit. But, yeah, my plans were that, and I was like, am I really sick? Am I really sick? Am I really that sick where I can't get outside? What? I'm lazy. I'm lazy. That's all. You know? And I kept on. It was horrible with this battle inside my head. It was horrible, you know, because it's all about me, and I want what I want, and I want my stuff done, especially before the cold weather comes. And, yeah, and I can't have my way. Thank you, and I have to trust God. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much, Patricia Ann D. Corianne S., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hi, this is Corianne.
There we go.
Sorry. This is Corianne F., as in Frank, and I'm in Texas. This passage, that line, driven by 100 forms of fear, that's me. I've been in and out of OA the last year and a half. Even just now, like, I don't want to speak on meetings. I don't want to turn my camera on. I didn't want to push star one. And then even once I did, like, just now, like, I was trying to unmute and it wasn't happening. And that fear crops up in me, but really, okay, if I can't unmute, what happens? It just, you move on to the next person. But at the root of it, it's what will people think of me? It's selfish. I want everyone to have a good picture of me. Every sponsor that I've worked with, I am so afraid of failing or not measuring up. And I'm not putting that on the sponsors. They're doing what they were, you know, they're sponsoring how they were sponsored and it worked for them. But I am so afraid of not doing the list of things I was supposed to do. And I'm 2 days abstinent now, and I have a sponsor that's going to work with me starting today. And I'm just so thankful for this new insight. I feel free, not of all fear, because there's always fears, but I feel free of that fear of what will my sponsor think of me, and what if I can't do one of the things? Well, you know, when I first came in, I was so scared of hearing that sponsors drop people off. But now I understand that if someone has to drop me, that's okay. There's someone else. And yes, I failed. I made it through the 12 steps. I didn't sponsor anyone. And I went back to the food. And then I've tried again and again and again. And instead of seeing myself as a failure, I'm getting glimpses of this is okay. This is the process. This is the journey I'm on. And yeah, I don't have much else to share, just that I'm back in OA and hopeful that that I can make it through one day at a time. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Corianne F. from Texas. All right. Well, I'm going to now take some more names of people who would like to share on page 62, that first paragraph, starting with selfishness, self-centeredness, and ending with in a position to be hurt. We value your experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? I'll take about three names.
Diana M.
Diana M.
And
Sherry F.
Sherry S.
F.
Sherry F. And one more name?
Anne Bosarge.
Anne. And we'll see if we can get you in at the end.
Okay.
Okay, very good. So go ahead, Diana.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Southwest Washington State. And I wasn't sure at first how to be heard, but now I know, star one to unmute. Yes, I was, when I read that paragraph, I remembered a moment when I wanted to share something with someone, my son actually, and I was so excited because of what I wanted to share. And my main motive was, what was I going to get out of the connection, instead of thinking, is what I'm going to say uplifting to him, going to help him, what does he need? Those were not my thoughts. I just only wanted what I was going to get out of it. And so the last word on that paragraph was that I set myself up to be hurt. And I didn't think in terms of that before, but that is what happened. It didn't go well. So that's my experience. I was all about, what am I going to get out of this conversation? And then it didn't go well. So my hope is, and my plan is, that I'm going to be more mindful of what does my son need to hear. He's an adult now, and so parenting an adult, I don't think one parents an adult, really, because they're an adult. They're in charge of their life. And I recall when I was his age, I didn't want to be parented. I needed recognition that I was doing okay, that what I was doing was acceptable, that I was cared about, not to be parented. And so that's my plan, and I've been doing that. I've been making amends by way of looking at myself. Am I going into the connection with an idea of what can I give that that person needs? Or am I just going in the conversation with what am I going to get out of it? And the switch actually is so amazing when I realize when I do that, I actually am empowered more and I get more out of it, actually. And it is a freeing, liberating feeling to think in terms of what can I give that that other person needs. And often when I think in that term, and when my higher power gives me something to say, or I feel that what I have to say would be all right, then it's a exhilarating, liberating feeling, and I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share and be heard, and I'm grateful for all of you who are listening, because it gives me an opportunity to be listened to, and I offer that for you as well, all who are listening, an opportunity to be heard, because I listen. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diana M. from Washington. Sherry F., it's your turn to share. Star one, Sherry. Oh.
Hi, this is Sherry F. in Idaho. grateful to be here on the meeting this morning. Wow, a great paragraph after a very family-filled weekend where you notice quite a few things about yourself. One of the things that I've noticed this morning is I've made a list of the things that I'm resentful of and the things that I'm fearful of. I realize that a lot of them, you know, the majority of them result, or, you know, go back to the fear of other people's opinions. And a very selfish and self-seeking behavior, right? That we want others to approve of us and approve of me and give me the validation that I want and need and the attention that I want and need. I really stopped to think about one specific situation, and it just reminded me that I'm the one who gives the attention to Sherry that she needs, and the only opinion that I need to be worried about is God's opinion, and that takes some mindfulness. That takes getting myself alone and being alone with God and having that time to really just kind of reassess myself and recenter myself. And that's where I'm at today. So I'm grateful for this group. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sherry F. from Idaho. Anne, it's your turn to share, and you have about a two-minute share, minute and a half.
Okay, thank you. This paragraph means a lot to me because I came to know that I was selfish and self-centered through my people-pleasing. I was born into an alcoholic family, and out of fear, I learned how to people-please, which means I'd say good things, but I was lying to ease the tension, you know, in my mom and my dad and their outbreaks. And this character defect has followed me all of my life. And it's only been through the 12 steps in this paragraph and concentrating on my self-centeredness. I never thought I was. I thought I was good until I discovered that I was, in fact, many times lying. I was in fear. It was all of my self-centeredness and selfishness has been born out of fear. And I'm very grateful to this program and all the people shares today. This is the first time that I'm sharing.
Pardon. Sorry, Anne. I'm so sorry, but you're out of time. And I didn't catch your initial
That's
or where
fine.
You're calling from.
I'm calling from Louisiana.
Okay. And what's your initial?
B.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ann B. from Louisiana. I'm so sorry to cut you short.
No problem. I said what I needed to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Ann B., and for everyone who shared, making this just an outstanding meeting. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Ainsley F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Ainsley F. In Michigan, grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.